And we're still in the need to for or against category?
We are, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Yes, my name is Jeff Thaler. I'm an attorney in Portland. And I attended each of the Ocean Energy Task Force meetings, not as a task force member, but as a member of the public. Full disclosure, I'm the licensing permitting attorney for the University of Maine's offshore research project. I'm not here speaking on that project today. I'm happy to answer questions if there are any afterwards. I am also co-chair of the Environmental and Energy Technology Council of Maine. I'm president of the American College of Environmental Lawyers nationally, brought their national conference here in Portland last fall to help the Maine economy. My wife's a public school teacher, and I have two sons. And full disclosure, I have an oil furnace, have for a number of years. I also have a Vermont Castings wood stove, and I have solar panels on my roof from a Maine company to try to heat my hot water when the sun's out.
You like to keep the house warm.
We do, and we have more solar than Florida does, which a lot of people don't know. Let me just also quote Yogi Berra. I have these pocket calendars that I've used for many years, and I always write in the back of it at the beginning of each year a quote that I heard many years ago, which helps me get through the day and through the morass of things like you do, and that is, if you don't know where you're going, when you get there, you'll be lost. So if you think about that, when you get going on projects and reviewing legislation, things like that, it sort of helps you remember what's the goal, where are we trying to get to.
Well, he also said when you reach a fork in the road, take it.
Which makes eminent sense. Maybe that was Robert Frost, too. But I think, you know, I always look at the whereases in legislation. I have for many years because I think it's important when the legislature speaks about in its preambles and in the whereases, what are the values, what are the goals, where are we trying to go, and why. And so I think I urge you over the next few days, when you get a chance, to read, and it's only one page, the whereases to this bill. Bob Moore just left a moment ago, and I was trying to keep him here because I was going to compliment him, and I've known Bob for 30 years, and say, you know, you had no problem with 99% of the bill, you and I probably agree on 99% of the issues with this bill, because I think that there is a lot good in this, and I do want to say that I don't think there's any disagreement or dispute over where our fuel sources come from at this point, what the price of oil is. We can hear that on the radio every day. I think the last I heard was about $80 a barrel. And I don't think we can have any disagreement about the fact that we don't have any oil wells in Maine. We don't generate any of that. And so when we talk about dependence on foreign sources of power, that's one of them. We also don't have any natural gas that we can drill and bring up in the state of Maine. But let me just briefly say that the Ocean Energy Task Force process was very open, that there were fishermen and others who attended those sessions. I can't remember if they were oil dealers or not, but, you know, it was certainly advertised. But I understand their concern, and I want to address it in a minute. I would not favor a resolve or delay or holding over of this bill, because based on my knowledge of what's going on in other states in the Northeast and along the Atlantic coast and what's going on internationally, delay will pretty much, you know, ensure that whatever Maine might want to do with the Gulf of Maine and whatever benefits you might get, you probably won't get there, because there are other states that are competing and trying to do offshore wind or other offshore energy projects. And there's only going to be so many projects and so many players who will be involved in that. That doesn't mean that you have to ignore legitimate concerns, and I'm not suggesting that either. But I do think that when there was a lot of talk at the beginning of the hearing today about 30 pages or 36 pages of legislation, when you actually tally it up, less than half of it is new language. Most of it is repeating statutory language, as you have to do in a draft bill. I would also remind you what this bill does not do, because there's been some comments you've heard this afternoon in opposition. This is not a siting bill. This is not picking sites. You know, the general permit and the siting process has been going on over the last year, and there will be hearings on the Monhegan proposal. This the legislation from last year nor this year doesn't preempt review or regulatory review of environmental impacts of the projects. That's what keeps me up at night, is thinking about the environmental permitting for this project, the Monhegan site, I should say. And it doesn't this legislation doesn't predetermine where transmission lines will go or anything else. There was a comment a moment ago about this bill being a taking of land and going from ports to transmission systems. I don't see that in there. If you look at H12, it talks about the Maine Port Authority doing an assessment and giving a report back to the legislature. It's not this. If you pass the H12, I don't think that does what the concern is. I want to go to Representative Fletcher's question a couple hours ago, however when it was, about what's the most critical aspect of this bill in terms of timing. I may not be able to be at your work sessions next week, depending on when they are, but I think that 810, which has to do with the Public Utility Commission RFP process and the timing of the assessment and report from the Governor's Office of Energy, Independence, and Security would be important, because, again, if you delay that another year and make it 2 or 3 years down the road, you're much, much less likely to have anyone interested in Maine as opposed to New Jersey, Delaware, Massachusetts, some Rhode Island, for just to pick a few. The concerns that I've heard from Bob Moore and Downeast Energy, who was my oil company, among others, Bob said that he didn't have a problem with 99% of the bill. Before he left, I said, I assume the 1% you're talking about are sections A4 and A8, and he said yes. And I think that in work session next week, you can discuss that and whether what you do with those sections. What I would hate to see is 1% of the bill be the tail end of the dog and drag down the rest of what is a very good bill, and which I believe my brothers and sisters on this side of the room or from the oil group, I have not heard a problem with. And so in conclusion, I would just urge you, I think John Ferlin made a comment about the younger generation. What motivates me in the work that I do and have done for 30 years is thinking about what kind of state, what kind of world that I'm going to leave for my kids, and should they ever have girlfriends and then get married and have grandkids, so be it. But I hope that the issue, what the definition of sustainability that I heard years ago is trying to leave, it's like when you go camping, leave the campsite as good as you found it. That's basically what we're talking about for the state and for the world. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Mr. Fittler, thank you so much for your testimony. This committee is a little famous for giving assignments generally to public officials and
free legal advice.
given your position, I feel a little less comfortable doing that, except for the fact that you've revealed that you've been following the whole process. You were here the entire day. I think it's fair to say that I already sense the committee is going to be open-minded to deferring some aspects of the bill in a resolve or something else, and perhaps acting on other aspects of the bill. It's nice to have that statistic of 99% is good and only 1% is bad, except I think even if we went with that, we already know that people have a different 99% and a different 1%. 1% are adding up. So I guess what I'd like to ask you to do, if you still have time for this subject between now and the work session, is to examine the parts of the bill and really give a close examination to what you think is important to bring forward in the near term, and allow us to accept or give us suggestions on those things that we can work on over time, and see if we can bring them to a better place for other people that are concerned and other stakeholders. And if you actually think that to get ahead and move forward, there's things you can do in this session, highlight those.
I'd be happy to do that, and I know Representative Fletcher asked that as well, and I will try to get something tomorrow if I can. Otherwise, I know email works 24 hours a day on the weekend, so I'll try to get something in over the weekend as well. And I do appreciate all those who've been here today and all the efforts that you're making and trying to learn about the bill.
I think Senator Bowman.
Well, House Chair Hank, you took the words right out of my mouth. I just wanted to compliment you on your measured sense of urgency, your optimism in trying to help us move the ball down the field. I think that is our task. And, yeah, we need to, because time is of such essence, we need to separate the wheat from the chaff. So whether it's 1%, 2%, 3%, I really need your help in identifying what that is. And if you could get together with your fellow, your friend, Mr. Moore, and get his input too, that would be doubly valuable.
I'll try to find it. I didn't grab his phone number before I left, but I'm sure I'll figure it out
from
the internet.
I'm sure you can figure it out.
And moving the ball down the field, Yogi Berra didn't quite do that, but we won't talk about mixed metaphors here. He could have, though. He was built like
If you take a look at that guy, and I didn't mean to start a trend, although there is a whole
it's a great trend.
Lore of it, I know. But he will live long after he dies because of everything he is purported to have said. And he wasn't a bad catcher or a manager either.
I mean, well, if you think about it, nobody can quote his statistics, but everybody can quote his quotes. So
I think he had more World Series wins than just about anybody. Representative Fletcher.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here's what would be helpful to me, and you were intimately involved. In December 15, 2009, Department of Conservation State Planning Office identified those three sites.
Correct.
And my understanding at the time, those are going to be the test facilities. That's where we were going to get the base knowledge so that when we did do the bigger jobs, we would know enough so we hopefully don't make exciting discoveries, or very few of them.
Correct.
So I'd have to understand what that critical path looks like, and it's almost seeming like that what's being talked about is shallow water technology. Is that correct? From your understanding, what's in the bill?
The current bill is I think the current bill addresses both types of offshore, but in terms of the past bill, what was LD 1465 right. last year, that was only deep water offshore, that was the test sites. And I would tell you that in terms of what that process is and what an applicant, the University of Maine, for its research test site. And by the way, just so there's no misunderstanding, because I've already heard a lot of misunderstanding from regulators or others, the university will not be proposing 450-foot high, full-scale turbines as test turbines. They're going to be much, much smaller. We're talking 100 kilowatt maybe or smaller facilities that are more like a sailboat mast in height in that region. So we're not talking the big turbines within 3 miles of Monhegan. Having said that, what the legislature was, I've been telling people this, much more clear and detailed in the legislation last year than much legislation about what you have to show and go through and do and propose for studies and monitoring than almost any other environmental legislation that I've seen in 30 years. So it's pretty clear in the legislation what each test site, if anybody chooses to make a proposal, what you have to be looking for.
And here is the issue that I haven't got my head wrapped around yet. That was looking ahead, that we got to do some things for deep water because that's where the future is. But this almost sounds like if we've got to have an RFP and we've got to go, unless we're going to just go deep before we know how to do it, it sounds like we're going to go in the shallow water technology. And I ask it of you, but it's really for which I think it's important for people to understand. This isn't deep water wind. This is shallow water wind, if my assessment is correct.
Well, and I think that there will be a series of processes for deep water. You're going to test. You're going to take the baby step first, see if it works, tweak it, and
which is the three sites.
Which is the three sites,
right.
and And I think it's generally understood probably that any large commercial size projects are not going to be in state waters, they'll be in federal waters for deep water projects. Having said that, you know, the power can then come to shore and be part of the PUC process.
But if we need to act quick, very quickly, before somebody else gets it, is what I'm hearing. That would imply, if we don't know how to go into deep water yet, we must be going into the proven technology of shallow or traditional depth as defined on the chart. So I think that's, you know, if that's right, then we need to understand that.
Right, and I do agree, and I think there'll probably be others who will speak to that and probably will address that at the work session as well.
Which I think is an important distinction, because this means that we're going to be out anyway.
Yeah, no, I understand your point. I think it's a viable and important inquiry and question.
And before you leave, I'll share two more things that you may want to write down.
All right.
There's a difference between taking risk and risky behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that really talks about, as you think it through, you've got the fallback position, you know the critical path. You know the checkpoints to say, are we on plan or not? And this is something my father told me. He said, you can either be a good example or a horrible lesson. And what I'm concerned about in the urgency of charging ahead, that we don't get so enthusiastic that we increase the risk behavior of being a horrible lesson. And I'm not making a judgment that this bill does that. But if I seem a little conservative, a little questioning, it's because I worked where we tried to mitigate the risk as opposed to having the excitement of risky behavior. So that's where I'm coming from.
And I think it's a valid point, and I think the goal here, I think, for those who worked on the task force and others, is to both manage that risk and be bold and imaginative at the same time. In other words, not just do the status quo, because ultimately, and I didn't say that in my remarks, but we can't live with the status quo forever. I mean, I think that's the reality, and so the question then is, what do we do different? Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I didn't mean to be that long in my standing up here.
Hey, once the questions start coming, all bets are off.
It's just like the court. It's just like the court that have you at your mercy. Thank you.
We got a promotion.
Hi. Hello. My name is Tom Mayette, and I'm from Midnight Oil.